Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Don't say anything politically controversial, okay?
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. The only rugby podcast here with you 52 weeks of the year, come rain, come shine, or come biblical wet weather as we've had this weekend. We are here in the Rugby Dungeon to talk all things rugby, Rugby Championship.
Rugby Championship
and, well, some other bits and bobs.
Pacific Nations Cup.
Yes, quite right. Talk about biblical rain, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's Phil.
Hello.
And that's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
Hello. How you doing, gents? You all right?
Very well.
Good.
Very good. A little bit hungover, but not too bad. Actually.
Yeah. I was far more drunk last night than I thought I was going to get.
Yeah. Just go out for a few. And then next thing you know.
We went to visit my holiday home. There you go.
Lovely.
What a brag. It's not even a humble brag. It's just a brag.
It's a brag, isn't it? I need to visit my holiday home too by going on North Wales holiday cottages.
Yeah. Is there anything in it for a rugby?
You can watch all the GC. You know,
it's, there you go.
Actually, yeah, you can get on the train from the Galway station, get off at Colwyn Bay station and watch all GC.
Amazing.
So, you know, great. It's great all round.
Wonderful.
So that's what we did. We tested out my facilities. And that we feel all the worse for it this morning.
Yeah, no Negronis, actually.
No, not a single Negroni was drunk.
A lot of dry white wine.
Lots of dry white wine.
Disappointed in you. Lots of people have been having a Negroni.
On our weekly Negroni roundup.
Our weekly Negroni roundup. Rob Taylor had his first Negroni and the key in Exeter. He said, not too bad. That can't have been a Negroni.
Now, with Rob Taylor's hipster beard, I refuse to believe that was his first Negroni.
I know. Johnny Chivers said he flew from Belfast to London for the cricket. And stayed for the Negronis.
Great.
Negroni at Lord's. Wonderful.
Come for the cricket, stay for the Negronis.
Yes.
Perfect.
And then Martin Forrester said the Australia-Argentina game was so poor, he nearly opened a bottle of blood orange Negroni. Which is now being sold in like wine bottle-sized bottles at M&S.
Really?
Wow.
They're everywhere.
I mean, the average strength of a Negroni is probably about 40%, so...
Well, no, it's not quite that. So,
this one's 20%.
Because your Campari and Vermouth are less than 20%.
Oh, you're right, actually.
And your gin will be around the 40%.
Yeah, so what's it, about 30-ish?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's quite strong to be wine bottles of the stuff.
If you said it was 20-40, it would be, what, 27 and a... about 27.
You're asking the wrong man.
Finally,
26 and two-thirds.
You're asking yourself a question there.
And finally, Lawrence Ames. Now, this is one of the places I go regularly. It's the kids' favourite place. Rudy's Pizza.
Well,
I hadn't noticed this. In their menu, they have a whole Negroni section.
Section?
They have multiple Negronis.
We've got a problem here.
Well, they have Classic, which is
the tried and tested.
The standard one. Bianco, which is...
So they've got
instead of Campari, they have Cochi Americano.
So not yet.
Bitter Giuseppe, which is Cynar or Kynar, I don't know how to.
And then Angostura Bitters.
Cochi Torino, Citrus and Bitters.
So it sounds like they have
Sablagiato, Campari, Cinzano, and Prosecco. And Romantico, which is Fernet Branco, Cochi Torino, and Tanqueray.
Fernet Branca.
Fernet Branca.
Sorry, Fernet Branca.
Disgusting.
That is a unique. uniquely disgusting drink in its own right.
Yeah, wow. So they've got one drink, which is a Negroni, and then five others, which have put on the same menu.
Yeah,
exactly. Quite. Well done. Well done. Anyway.
Fernet Branca is like a menthol Jägermeister.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
I'm not interested, which Negroni did your kids enjoy the most?
And another picture that I really appreciate being sent to me. I'm a massive fan of a fine set of quads. And Marcel Kurtzier.
Oh, lovely Kurtzier.
His quads have been sent to me by Peter Shaw. Wow.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
He's a big old boy, isn't he?
Big old boy.
Well, he's been injured for the past two seasons. He's just been down the gym.
He's been doing massive.
Only leg day.
On Ulster's dime.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Right, we've got a fair bit to talk about.
Yes.
Let's start with that rugby championship. Here's one. Here's an opening thought. Ireland are preparing themselves now for their usual World Cup exploits of getting knocked out in the quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals. Yes,
knowing so. They have to face New Zealand or South Africa.
Yes.
Unlucky.
So it Ireland, Scotland, Japan, Russia, Samoa, that pool A, the winner and runner-up. Their next round, the quarterfinal game, will be against the winner or runner-up of New Zealand, South Africa's pool.
Jeez. Now,
that pool, I was looking, I probably did this similar thing to you before, Tim. I was looking at that when that game is, and it's the first game of that group, of the Group B.
So New Zealand, South Africa?
New Zealand, South Africa is the first game, 21st wow. of September. Then each of them follows up by playing Italy, Namibia and Canada. Which is just going
to
be
so they're going to be nice and fresh for Ireland.
Three processions, yeah. Really, they'll probably get Brodie Retallick back by then. Everything in Pool B is decided on the first game.
Wow. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Totally, because as good as Italy, Namibia and Canada...
aren't.
Well, yeah. For all their positives, they are not going to be either New Zealand or South Africa.
No.
Correct. Not.
Real bind for Ireland. It also feels like, as you know, when you left the Six Nations, you thought, "Oh, Northern Hemisphere rugby is really on, you know, the up and up." Ireland looked good. England beat Ireland, who were looking good until they lost to Scotland. Scotland have got some great attacking plays. Wales just in the Grand Slam, but now I've had a chance to look at what the Southern Hemisphere are offering, particularly these two teams in New Zealand and South Africa. They're absolutely fearsome.
Now, it was an interesting game, this, because we are rightly talking about how dangerous these two teams are, and they really are. They both, certainly South Africa look like they're peaking at just the right time. New Zealand, maybe a couple of question marks over their last two performances, but we know how strong they are. They have been experimenting with combinations as well. They've not been playing their strongest team in each of these games. So we know how strong they are. This game wasn't the best demonstration of their attacking potency. What it did demonstrate was both teams just how good and brutal and efficient their defence is, and how difficult they both are to break down.
I 100% agree with that. I think the New Zealand defence is a thing of wonder at the moment. And you see it from the Crusaders as well. It's the line speed and the decision making. And it makes every other team play in a certain way. You know,
what animal do you think is being used in training sessions?
Oh, great question.
An extraterrestrial. I've seen nothing like. I've seen nothing like it before.
There's gonna be some Northern Rugby League.
Some guy
defense coach in there.
Hell.
Yeah, dragged him off a rugby league pitch / coal mine.
They've crossbred a wolf with a whippet, maybe. Because it's that quick.
Decision-making wolf.
Yeah.
It's very impressive stuff. Because just the speed that they all operate and how they, you know, how it communicates along their line. And, you know, you look at, I saw South Africa do it quite a lot. You know, when the forwards pull the ball out the back. And, you know, that used to be really effective. Really, really effective. And now it just looks so old hat against these really quick defences. I'm just waiting for the next generation of attack to come along to supplant the defence.
What's really interesting is South Africa have just suddenly just got this production line of amazing wingers
who are
not just absolutely lightning rapid, but just got really good rugby brains. And that arm chat.
Arm the 30.
He shut them down on the outside.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was really...
Well, outside backs, I mean.
Yeah. He was really impressive, Arm. His communication. The one time, so for the try, the New Zealand try.
Bobby Barrett got round him.
Which wasn't Arm. It was Mapimpi. Mapimpi jammed in on, I think it was Goodhue, who was outside, Sonny Bill Williams, which meant that Arm and Mapimpi both went for one player, which gave Bowden Barrett the overlap, which allowed Goodhue in. That was their only real mistake in that. And that was from a centre field turnover right at the end of the half where it had been a very physical half. Everyone was out on their feet. Mm. So you can kind of... I know Razzy will not be happy with that, but you can kind of understand why that momentary lapse totally. Happened.
Can we... when can we announce Jack Goodhue moving to Exeter Chiefs, by the way?
right, as I say, he is.
That would be a hell of a sign-in.
Well, they've sent the barber down there ahead of, you know, presumably that's the first step in the move. What's he playing out with that hair?
He is a talented boy, though.
Oh, he really
young,
is.
Talented kid.
Yeah. Sonny Bill Williams is apparently going off to play for, like, a county side because...
Sorry, who?
He needs game time. Sonny Bill Williams is apparently not going to be in the Bledisloe squad. He's going to go back and play, like, counties rugby. To get more game time under his belt.
Crikey.
I think his World Cup spot might be questionable.
He's too important.
With Lau Mappy and...
Yeah, I'm actually with you on this. I think if Ryan Crotty was fit, he wouldn't have been playing these games.
So I'm with neither of you on this. I think that Henson has shown so much faith and so much desire, as have New Zealand as an organisation, to keep him around, and they'll do anything in order to facilitate that. Let him go boxing, let him go to NRL, as long as he gets back for the World Cup. And I think they've actually got so much invested in them, there's no way that they would drop him. Not even they are that process-driven.
Well, so I think you are right that they have given him a huge amount of flexibility, but there is a point when performances, if they drop off sufficiently, and if he's not getting the game time... Now, he didn't actually have a terrible game in this, but he's not... He's not played a huge amount over the past couple of years. And if he failed to regain that kind of match fitness and sharpness in what is a competitive position, it'll be tight.
How many double World Cup winners do they have in that squad?
I think there's about five off the top of my head.
Including him. That's probably quite important at a World Cup. So I'm kind of with you, JB, that I think he will go. But it's just that there's clearly a, right, quick, we need to get you up to speed.
Yeah. It's like a little bit like when Mike Catt got called up for England before the World Cup. What did he play? Two games. One of which was a warm up game for Bath against Caerphilly. I seem to remember. Now, of these two teams, which one do you think is in the better position for the World Cup?
So, as I said before, I think from these two games, New Zealand have looked a little bit rusty. Mm. South Africa look like they are timing this just right for the World Cup. They've got so many options. We spoke about it last week.
Yeah.
But the depth of their squad is looking really, really good. So it feels the momentum is more with South Africa.
Yeah, so I think New Zealand are, as good as they are, they feel like they're maintaining. Like they're looking for someone to, you know, kick them up a notch. And they're very, very good. And, you know, they're the equal best team in the world. But the difference is South Africa. You say they're peaking. I think they are. I think they're constantly improving. Well, they've got this new coach.
Yeah, I didn't say peaking. I said they are improving. They're timing.
Actually, got that
one. you listened back to it already?
Yeah, we will listen back to it. We'll time code it. Right. So we don't actually know. I mean, we know exactly how good New Zealand are, bloody marvellous, but we do not know how good South Africa can be. And my feeling is they're going to improve and improve and improve. And by the time they get to the World Cup, they're going to be absolutely monstrous. They've got so many good players, and it looks like they've finally got a coach who is, you know, has the competency level to actually coach South Africa.
It's going to be really interesting and a massive test, but I think there will be a different mentality, a different mindset, and those little psychological things and all the little 1% and dealing with the travelling and the experience and the whole process of a World Cup will play into New Zealand's hands. For that first game.
Yeah.
Because it's all... They've got, as we just said, they've got at least five guys that have won it twice.
Yeah.
How many South Africans have won it?
Probably. Beast. Beast, maybe. I'm not even sure if he was there.
Sure, he would have been there. 100
he was definitely in 2009 Lions. Fran Steen is the one that jumps to mind immediately.
Yeah. But that is an edge. And the fact is the first game is interesting. So,
yeah,
it will be... It's going to be tough between these two. And I think they're going to play each other twice in the tournament.
There's a good...
Yeah, we thought this last night. We did have a little conversation similar along these lines that will be put. But they can't, can they? Because France are getting to the final.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how that's going to all pan out. But yeah, two bloody brutal teams.
Yeah, really are.
Now, do you think Faf de Klerk's place is under threat?
Right, well, more than that, who knew who Herschel Jantjies was a year ago?
Obviously me. I've been following his career very closely.
Who knew who he was 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, right,
yeah,
exactly.
I've never heard of the guy. No.
Unbelievable story.
Yeah. Well, is he exactly what every team wants? Their Milner Scudder.
Well, he won't be a debutant in the World Cup. Not that Milner Scudder was; he was a debutant that year, wasn't he?
Who remembers the guy who debuted in the World Cup final?
Final, I know who it is.
Do you know who it is?
Debuted in a World Cup final.
Yeah. Final. Made his international debut in a World Cup final.
Which final?
Not last one, the one before.
2011.
So New Zealand versus France.
That's the one.
It'll be a Frenchman in the whole Leo Fremont.
It is.
Correct.
It is a Frenchman.
Correct.
I cannot remember his name.
His name? He plays... Or
it's not David Smith, is it?
No.
It is...
Jean-Marc Doucan.
Doucan, yeah. That's the one.
The scrum half slash fly half.
No, he's a winger.
Jean-Marc Doucan.
He played on the wing. I'm sure he played on the wing.
Well, he is a scrum half slash fly half.
Yeah, but he definitely played... Actually, just check that.
Yeah, so
before I embarrass myself,
I kind of wish he only played that one game. That would have been an amazing quiz question answer.
Or retired.
Yeah,
like if you won it and then retired, well, you know, I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve in a shorter
one cap,
time frame.
One World Cup,
a shorter time frame than anyone else ever has. Thank you very much.
He came on, replaced number 9 Dimitri Yashvili
for
4 minutes.
So,
and also just on the South Africa potential double World Cup winners, it looks like Frans Steen is the only one. Unless JP Peterson gets an unlikely call-up.
It's a very unlikely call-up at this point, I would say.
Yes.
So, Brody Retallick injured. That's a potentially big loss, although I believe, having had a scan, they're saying it's a very good chance he'll be back for the World Cup.
Yes.
So they said it is
a shoulder dislocation, but not as bad as first feared.
Yeah. Did he see anything wrong with the incident that caused it?
Well,
he was in from the side. Snayman.
Well, angling.
Did you see Rugby Twitter's response to,
yeah,
to this?
It's
a scourge on the game. This needs to be sorted out. That's an outrage.
Ban rooking.
So it sounds relatively calm and measured by Twitter standards.
So I think this will actually probably be a reasonable statement with most rugby fans, but will upset Rugby Twitter. Get over yourself. Sort yourself out. What are you playing at?
Yeah, it looked fine to me. I mean, he came in at that angle, but... Yeah.
Oh, no, it was offside, or in the side slightly. But technique-wise, it was spot on.
Yeah. And there was no contact with the head of Retallick, and he didn't dive off his feet. He was just in from the side. So it was what would have otherwise been a perfectly legal tackle. And injuries do happen.
Injuries do. Steve Hansen's comments. I love this from Steve Hansen. He said, quote, "The clean out itself was technically okay, apart from the fact he was offside. He entered the ruck from the side of the ruck, but that's only a penalty." Then he was asked whether Snyman should have been cited, and he said, no. It's a big boys game.
Yeah.
It's true.
Fair play, Steve Hansen.
Those two are absolute monsters as well. They're two 19 stone, best part of 19 stone, 6'7", 8 plus blokes. What do you expect is going to happen?
So if you think that should be a retrospective red, or it should mean we change how rucking's done, just get over it.
I mean, let's hope Retallick's okay, because I mean, he might be one of the best players on the planet, actually.
Did you see the hit he put in on Cheslin Colby?
He was World Player of the Year before last, wasn't he?
Retallick was?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Before Johnny Sexton, wasn't it? Oh, no.
Bowden
Barrett got the egg chasers tie.
I was going to say, last time I checked, Brody Retallick...
Oh, no, Brody Retallick was the player of the year they won the World Cup last.
Last time I checked, Brody Retallick does not own an egg chasers tie.
He was the first forward to be World Player of the Year, wasn't he?
Is that right?
Don't know.
Or first front five forward, certainly.
Let's have a look. God, we're doing a lot of fact-checking on this
2015,
podcast.
Brody Retallick, World Player of the Year. We're not going to be at the World Rugby Awards this year.
No,
this year.
Do you know when they are?
They're in Tokyo, after the World Cup final.
Yeah.
Gutted.
Oh, well.
So Brody Retallick was 2014, leading up to the final.
Okay.
Beauden Barrett won the two preceding Johnny Sexton. Before that, in 2015, World Cup winning year it was.
World Cup winning year, player of the year, world player of the year.
Right, I'm going to suggest...
Michael Hooper?
No, he was on the shortlist.
Pocock?
Nope. It was a Kiwi.
Okay.
It's surprising because he had quite a lot of injuries that year.
The Kiwi, McCaw?
Nope. The other, the other one, Carter.
Yeah, the other one. Okay, so I'm going to suggest a change to the Rugby Awards, the World Rugby Awards. I know we have some influential listeners, so this is directed exactly at you.
you know who you are.
You know who you are. Two awards. Okay, one is World Player of the Year, and the other one is Fly Half of the Year. And Fly Half is something not competing World Player of the Year. I'm sick of Fly Halves winning everything. Like, it should be like for... You know, scrimmaging or getting up in the line out and be doing rugby player stuff rather than fly half stuff.
It's open season at the minute. There's no, I don't think there's anyone that's gone.
The World Cup is going to be so influential.
If I had to give it out today, it would be someone like Jonathan Davis, I guess.
Hadley Parks.
Hadley Parks would be up.
Oh, but the Hadley Parks that was running in treacle or the Hadley Parks that then looked incredible. Talk about a centre that turned his form around like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hadley Parks. Alan
Wynne-Jones.
Alan Wynne-Jones.
For that performance against Ireland on one knee was just amazing. I'd say that probably a couple of the Saracens boys could be in there as well for their double.
Yeah, but you're only allowed to consider it in internationals, I think.
Which is true.
Well, then it's because the only internationals have been the Six Nations. Yep. You're pretty limited. There's probably some Georgians who did well in the Tier 2 Six Nations.
I don't know. As long as there's no Romanians in there, I don't mind.
Now, were Argentina and Australia playing with a bar of soap this weekend?
Well, both, because the number of handling errors in this New Zealand game, the number of just basic New Zealand handling errors, which was brought about by great defensive pressure from South Africa, but there was a lot in that game. It was even worse. It was even more comical and ridiculous.
Was it defensive pressure in the other game, or was it just a lack of competence?
More the latter. A bit of both. Yeah. But
I felt it was as well. There was
one passage of play that's been going around on Twitter that did sum up the game very well.
You played Benny Hill music over it.
Yeah, it was comical.
Yeah, so if the first game is an example of exactly what Southern Hemisphere rugby brings, and rugby at its best... this is where they've lost their way a bit, I think, particularly Australia. So they should be a bloody brilliant team, but they're just not. And that's my problem with them.
And both teams, I said it about Argentina last week, both teams in this game, they did some very good things and made some good breaks, but then failed to capitalise on, failed to close out chances. Both teams got close and then silly handling errors or turning over the ball or losing composure at the ruck cost both teams repeatedly. And actually Argentina's only try last week was a bit of a lottery bomb crossfield. Their only try this week was from an 11-man lineout. So Argentina, for all the talent that they have in attacking threats, they're not getting the most out of it.
So last week I said that I thought that this Argentina team was on the cusp of something special, like record points tally in the rugby championship or something like that, obviously building on the accents of the Jaguares this season. So I'll be really disappointed if they come out of this tournament as they have in the past, which is, close but no cigar.
Which is what they're going to look like.
Yeah.
They play South Africa.
Basically, they're getting no change out of South Africa whatsoever.
No.
Although they are the best team in South Africa.
They are the best team in South Africa, but you put all the other four together, plus a load of players from Europe, and they somehow will become better than Argentina. So, it is a bit disappointing. Now, in Argentina and Australia's defence, this was, again, a big kind of shake-up in the team. This was by no means the strongest team that either side could put out, although there is some serious talent on both sides. Mm. And that doesn't help when you've got combinations that are being mixed around.
Yeah. What do you think of all this combination mixing which is going on at the moment?
I think there's an element where people don't want to show their hand.
Yeah, I think that's probably more it, actually. Because they must know who the best team is. And therefore, it's more about hiding it rather than testing new ones, I would say.
I I don't think there's that much about hiding it. Now there'll be specific plays that they might be saving,
yeah.
But I don't think the combinations they're necessarily hiding. It's just they will be trying things out, and also you've got to keep players fresh, particularly any of the guys who have come from a European season or a Super Rugby season will have had. Well, the guys from Europe will have had 12 continuous months of it by this, or almost 12 continuous months of it by this stage. The guys from Super Rugby have just had a grueling 16-week season and then gone after a one-week break, gone back into internationals. So yeah, you just got to keep players fresh.
Yeah. So, did you realise it's 6 weeks until our live show?
Is
no,
it?
I have no idea.
Hold on, I'm just thinking. 1 week, 2 weeks. Hold on. 1 week, 2 weeks, three,
four, five, six. Yeah.
6 weeks till our live show, Saturday, 7th September. We don't have to worry about organising all the logistics this time.
Yes,
thank God.
Which is great. Relief. We just have to focus on putting on an amazing show, which we will.
I age about 3 years every time that we do a live show and we've got to do our own logistics. This is so much better.
How much of it is from the stress leading up to it? And how much is it from the drinking after it?
Well, that's a good point. That's a very good point. And the drinking before it as well.
Yeah.
Days and days and days of heavy drinking.
Now, all you have to do is just the heavy drinking and a live show.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be as drunk as our last shows because, well, it's in Twickenham.
It's at midday.
Is it?
Yeah.
So there is time.
Yeah, there is time.
Yeah, well, we are selling tickets like no one's business, and also, like half the people are going to be coming in their Egg Chasers jerseys as well, because now the ties are available with your Egg Chasers jerseys, they are flying off the shelves.
Yeah, so thank you to everyone who's come along to the live show. Can't wait to see you.
Yes.
Buzzing about how many. Mm. It's not just our podcast, by the way, although you wouldn't...
Well, you know.
Well... Kind of is from, but there are others. Brian Moore will be there with his podcast.
Yep,
controversial.
He's so controversial.
I worry about him when I look at him tweeting.
This is controversial.
Just calm down.
Yeah.
For God's sake,
he's casing out again.
We might have that on that day if it carries on. So Brian Moore will be there with his Telegraph podcast. Looking forward to that. Don't worry. There was something else to talk about afterwards.
The other one, so
Will Greenwood will be there. That'd be great.
Nick Heath, Q commentator, will be there. Looking forward to seeing Nick.
I think Rory Lawson.
Yes, is his guest.
Grandson of Bill McLaren.
Hang on, are we allowed to announce that? Is that for him to announce?
He announced it on Twitter, I'm sure.
He said it. And Rory Lawson's going to be there with the Under the Sticks podcast, who have a sort of Pro 14 slant on things. So you've got all your bases covered, and there's more coming as well. So a perfect way to build up to the World Cup. It's the day that England fly out after after playing Italy at St James's Park the night before. If you want to come and have a look around Twickenham's brand new East Stand, see all those podcasts, come to our live show, which trebles up as a JB launch of his campaign, JB 2020.
And we'll try and get some Negronis ready.
Which we're going to have to sort of manage that carefully and make sure we own the hashtag, because Joe Biden's looking like he's going to become the Democratic candidate for 2020.
I don't mind if I'm trending with Joe Biden. That's brilliant. JB 2020.
Another podcast that is there is The Game Changers. Maggie Alfonsi will be there. We had the pleasure of having a chat with Maggie Alfonsi at Twickenham. She was
genuinely awesome.
Yeah, so that will be exciting.
Yeah, I've heard Mall Over podcast might be joining us. I really do hope so.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. So, yes, there's loads going on. Podcastlive.com. podcastlive.com. Come along, see all those rugby podcasts. Come and have a day of rugby building up to the World Cup. If you can't go out to Japan like JB and Phil, this is the next best thing, just to indulge yourself in rugby.
And then we're going to go into Twickenham or Richmond after and get loose.
Yeah, that the Riverside Richmond way is lovely.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
very, very nice.
I think we'll have to have a stroll along there.
Speaking of Richmond.
Yes, oh, beautiful segue, Phil. I didn't even think of that. Well played.
I thought you were gearing up
for
when you said Richmond.
Well played.
There's been some news this week coming out of the Championship, specifically around Richmond's relegation, but it's as a consequence of Yorkshire Carnegie, the decision made by the RFU and the Championship that Yorkshire Carnegie can continue to play next season, despite their financial problems. And they will... So there is a potential 28-point penalty that will be imposed on them. However, from what I've read, the single condition that they need to meet to prevent that penalty is for all of their creditors to agree to the terms of the CVA, the creditors' voluntary agreement, which, from what I've read, does appear to be the case anyway. So they
What creditors don't agree to it? That they're not happy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Agreeing
yeah.
to it doesn't yeah. mean they're happy. They're like, I'm getting 10p out of the pound.
Perfect.
Or I'm getting nothing. Yeah. Oh, fine, I'll take 10p.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks like Yorkshire Carnegie will be getting off relatively scot-free.
Well, scot-free.
Oh, well, scot-free in terms of the consequences. Now,
don't have a DOR or any players, though.
They have a DOR now. Martin Wood, former Bath player.
Oh, really?
And they have been announcing player signings.
Martin Wood, hang on. I guess... Is that the guy who's really good mates with Flats? Used to Bath and...
Probably. I don't
know. Worcester. And the gag is he made Stuart Bonds' team of the week in 1992 or something.
Yeah, but he didn't make Stephen Jones's best team of all time, which had Juan Martín Hernández at 10, best fly half ever.
That's an interesting... interesting. Yeah, so, if... I was going to say, if Yorkshire wanted a new DOR, I'd happily put my name forward for that.
You know, so just to do the defence coach rule. It's a little bit less demanding.
Well, I just don't know what they're going to do, because, okay, we've got a DOR, so that's good. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. What about players? They need to assemble a squad now, right?
Yeah, they do, but let's take one step back. They, towards the end of the season, when they were in a real relegation mix, and it was a real possibility, down there at the bottom of the Championship, they signed a bunch of players. I believe, again, I could be wrong on this, but I understand, they signed a bunch of players on contracts which went beyond the end of the season just gone.
Yep.
And then they were there for a few months, helped them survive, and then their contracts were torn up.
Bunch of New Zealanders, I seem to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think for there to be no sanction for this is an absolute joke.
Yeah.
And if I was Richmond, who've operated within the spirit and within the rules and within the spirit of the rules,
yep,
and with integrity, they've been relegated. I don't know the ins and outs, but it appears like Yorkshire Carnegie have not acted with integrity.
Okay, so I don't like the fact that they are treating the financial improprieties, and I guess they're both financial improprieties, but like they've got creditors and they might go into liquidation, more seriously than the treatment of the players. In my mind, it's more important to get to the bottom of, did they issue contracts?
Knowing they wouldn't honour them.
Yeah, knowing they wouldn't. I mean, that to me is far, far more damning. And also, it's not good for the club,
no,
is it? Because if they're going to go, what are you going to replace them
with? There's a bunch of other guys that were in the squad last year who had families and mortgages and all of this. I just think it's shocking that there doesn't appear to have been any consequence.
Yeah. So
for the mismanagement.
Yeah.
Right. So going forward, right, they're not going to stay up, are they? I mean, it is near enough impossible to build yourself a Championship standard team with little or no money in what? How many?
Couple of months.
Max.
Absolute max from when the CVA was first announced. They've got a couple of months to play games. So it's going to be near impossible. It is a very competitive league.
Yeah. So my point is this. This is how I would go about it. Why waste a good crisis? Okay. Put in some rules. Make it a little bit of a novelty. For instance, Yorkshire Cricket used to have a rule that you had to be born within the borders of Yorkshire to qualify to play for Yorkshire Cricket. Do something like that. Hold something like open trials. Because there's no way you're going to be able to compete. No, sorry. There's no way you're going to be able to stay up, let alone compete. So you may as well do something a bit different.
Mm.
What's more likely to happen is that they become for Sale Sharks what Hartbury were for Gloucester, which, just sort of broadening this out slightly, I also think Hartbury, they behaved within the laws last season. They survived as a result of, in my opinion, acting very much not in the spirit of the rules.
Why? What do they do?
They just, when they had key games and towards the end of the season, they just flooded their side with Gloucester players.
Ah. So Sale FC obviously linked very, very closely with Sale Sharks. And their struggle is the opposite, actually. When Sale have their internationals away, their squad is completely bare of players. When the internationals are at Sale, they're able to put lads like, Kieran Wilkinson in. So it's actually the opposite thing. But it's interesting you said Leeds and Sale, because I'm pretty sure there's been some discussions between the two. Not discussions between the two clubs, but there's been rumours and conjecture that Sale want to be involved with Leeds.
Well, who wouldn't want to try and land grab Yorkshire
for the academy?
Because Leeds still have an academy.
And by the way, for all the historic rivalry, it's going to be a little bit of a kick in the teeth if the academy for a Lancashire club is basically Yorkshire.
This is basically like, as it stands, Sale have 3 red dice in a game of Risk and Leeds just have 1 blue dice.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got no leverage, bargaining power. So if Sale want to come in and save the day by flooding Leeds with loads of Sale players in exchange for, we're going to take our pick of whoever you've got in Yorkshire.
To be honest, in the past, there has been a lot of trouble the other way. So you've got lads going from Sale over to Yorkshire quite frequently. Just off the top of my head, there would be Liam Alack. He went there, the prop. Ford, after he finished with Sale, went over to Yorkshire.
And prior to that, it was André Fourry.
Yes.
And Keenan Mile.
And you missed one. Luther Burrell.
Luther Burrell.
Big Luth.
But yeah, which way? Because he was a Yorkshire lad who played
Huddersfield. And then Leeds, and then Sale,
Otley,
and then Northampton,
Otley, and Sedgley for a period as well.
Oh, really?
In your team?
Yeah, so I never actually played in the same team with him. Against him a few times.
You have dumb tackled him.
Yeah, there should be a video somewhere of
Phil picking up Luther Burrell and
putting a big hit on Big Luth.
Tiny Luth that day. Little Luth.
He did another point in that game, score a 50-meter try. So it wasn't all everything.
How's he getting on in rugby league?
No idea.
Don't know. He's playing for Wyre, isn't he?
Wyre.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a little. There was this kid that I heard, like proper mank kid. They must have been about 4 years old, and someone the question was being asked to him. I was away from it. The question was asked to him, like, why don't you? Why is fire dangerous? And this little kid went, because it'll melt ya. It'll hot ya. And then you'll be dead forever.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of, we touched on Super League and kind of Tin Pot Northern things.
I know what you're going to say!
That picture of Tony Adams, yes, the Tony Adams,
good God.
First press conference of Rugby League just sums up.
Can I be very clear? Rugby League is very different to Super League. Super League have got a different comms team and their act is very much together. They've got a concise and coherent message. Messaging policy.
So that is the Rugby Football League.
The Rugby Football League, however.
The Rugby Football League held a press conference where Tony Adams, their chief exec, was his first press conference in the role. And his body language looked like you would imagine someone who understands what doing a proper press conference means when he's basically been put in the foyer of a leisure centre.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
There was a vending machine in the background.
Yeah. And do you know, there's so many, like... Yeah, they're... They've got a Muhammad Ali quote on the wall. There's a vending machine. It looks terrible. And there is so much great scenery around the north of England, they could have done it in front of an old mill or something. There's so much stuff. And they did this. And it's, it is one of the world's great games. and they can't get it together. So
Boris Johnson had a lectern set up at the Science and Industry Museum. Change the badge on the front of that and say, and
by the way,
go in front of the Stevenson rocket.
What amazing way to do a press conference. I mean, it stands for all the good things that the North is. And they went to a leisure centre.
Well, the quote as well, the Michael Jordan quote.
It was a Michael Jordan quote.
It's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's reading it and looking at that picture, it's so ironic. Because the quote is, I failed time and time again. That is why I succeed. And you've got four middle-aged blokes in bad-fitting suits at two like school desks in a leisure centre.
And one of them's not even done his bloody tie-up. They're like his...
One of them's wearing a short sleeve shirt with two pockets. And of course, two of them are wearing gold chains. Massive gold chains. So what is going on?
Yeah, they all dress like low-grade taxi drivers. Okay, but as a rule, if you're not going to wear a jacket, don't wear the tie. In fact, just go open neck shirt. But don't do that. Don't do what they did.
It is remarkable. Yeah. What a picture.
Ah, come on, Super League. Rugby Football League. Super League's already got its act together. Get your act together.
Bit of other news. Brad Shields injured.
Yes.
Alex Dombrandt, the Dominator.
Yeah. Instead of Robshaw.
No Robshaw. I feel sorry for him.
I do. Certainly now.
I don't understand the strategy here. And this won't be the first time I don't understand something which Eddie Jones is doing. But I think Brad Shields, and I think Phil's mentioned this before, and Robshaw, fairly similar players. They're hard-working, work rate sort of guys.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. Dombrandt is not that. So why would you replace Shields with Dombrandt? I'd have gone directly for Robshaw.
Yeah.
I think Robshaw
and Wilson are the closest comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Brad Shields isn't the all-action, ball-carrying, offloading. Although when he was at Rugby, Super Rugby... That's what people used to say about him, Brad Shields, but that's not what we've seen of him.
I think he is more of the work rate type player. I actually, the distinction that in my head I make between Robshaw and Shields for Eddie Jones's purposes is Brad Shields is slightly taller and slightly better as a jumper in the lineout. And he has used him as a second row. Now, Dombrandt has played...
Was it Cardiff Met, he was a lock.
So he has played second row, although he's a non... I imagine that Dombrandt's a non-jumping second row generally.
Yeah, he's a big old boy, isn't he?
He is a big old boy. A lot of timber to get off the ground. But
these are ridiculously strong fellas. They can just...
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's the only distinction I make.
As a line-out option. Yeah, that's interesting.
The only distinction, I mean... Dombrandt strikes me as the perfect finisher for England. Shields does not strike me as that. I mean, Shields.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Shields would have to play from the start of the game to get any worth out of him, so he can go around doing his Robshaw-y work rate-y things, hitting lots of rucks, so on and so forth. Dombrandt's not going to do that. So they're just completely different players. But you know, obviously Eddie has a plan, but you know what that plan is, it's beyond me.
But if you had a back row with Billy Vunipola and Dombrandt, that's asking a lot of Tom Curry or Underhill or whoever.
Yeah, but I think, that's why you sit him on the bench and then you bring him on once Billy has run himself into the ground or you know whatever else is happening.
But that goes back to the fact that if, you know, actually Dombrandt being in and Shields being out makes, whilst I feel sorry for Robshaw, it makes more sense in terms of the whole makeup of the squad.
Yeah, because you, at the moment, the replacement for Billy Vunipola would be Mark Wilson and it is not... Mark Wilson has been brilliant, but he is not a light-for-light replacement for Billy Vunipola.
It's awesome to see Sale developing so many back rows.
Interesting. Have either of you seen the England Rugby, the RFU Rising Suns, the little 4 or 5 minute videos? They've done three of them now.
No.
They're just... Not that there's anything specific to raise on it. They're just quite interesting, well put together, and give you a little snapshot of the squad and the training that they're doing.
Has anyone noticed the Sale Sharks music videos, which are coming out on Twitter at the moment?
I did see the E17 one.
E17 one, and there's another one coming out very, very shortly, which I was watching them. You know, an awful lot. I blame Bristol for this. I blame Bristol for basically putting or wasting rugby resources. Because ever since Bristol got their act together on social media big time, I reckon that maybe 20% of a rugby club's operating profit is now spent on resources for Twitter videos.
Bristol came in at the start of last season and made every other Premiership club look old school.
Yes.
They've changed the game and everyone else has had to step up. Because so it's, well done.
Well done to Tom Tainton
and all the guys at Bristol. And we're seeing all this stuff now, like Sale Sharks, which is a little pre-season thing, which is great. They pick a few members of the squad.
Everyone talks about the Bristol stuff. By far the best content put out last year at the start of the season was the Sale Sharks tour to France. That was awesome. You got like real footage in the change rooms, actual...
Dime swearing a lot.
I mean, that would be a shock to anyone. That's what he's like. But that was, that was awesome. So there you go.
Other bit of news: Steve Maffey to London Irish confirmed. I thought this was one of the ones that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah,
but then it's back on. Apparently,
does it strike you?
I've heard eye-watering amounts of money for that signing. Eye-watering.
There are some players
he's left his cast contracts. Like one or two seasons early as well.
Oh, my word. So there are some players out there, and Steve Maffey is probably this guy, who have never been particularly that good, yet somehow command ridiculous amounts of money.
Great highlights reel. That's what he's got, an amazing highlights reel.
It's the phrase that I saw the other day, thin slicing, where you pick the snapshots are incredible. But the overall, so when you take the thin slices of a performance, Maffey's highlight reel would be off the charts.
So he was at Leicester.
He was. I just looked him up.
There were some concerns about his conditioning, I think, at Leicester.
Did he go to the Rebels or something?
Then he went to the Rebels. No, Western Force.
That's right. But everywhere he's gone, he seems to have got bigger and bigger and bigger contracts. I mean, that's the thing. You want to be a Southern Hemisphere player with a reputation of being able to, move for money, I guess, and that's how you get paid a lot of cash.
Wow. Interestingly, he's younger than I thought he was.
What was he, about 28?
29. Yeah, I thought he'd be older than that. He was at Leicester for between 2010 and 14.
Is he not in the Tonga squad? Will he be at the World Cup?
Well, I don't know.
Did he not play for Australia?
No, Tonga.
I thought...
He tried to switch back to Australia when he was playing well for Western Force. There was talks of him doing the Olympic Sevens route to get back to play for Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
So did he start at the Brumbies? Have I got that complete? Have I made that up?
Not from what I'm looking at. He was Australian schoolboys when he was a kid.
So where did he go? How did he get to Leicester?
Your guess is as good as mine.
He's
Waratahs as a kid.
There you go.
Now I'm just looking up because there was the Pacific Nations Cup and Tonga did play Samoa in remarkable conditions.
Yeah.
Like some of the worst conditions I've seen for a long, long time. He wasn't in the squad for that. Wasn't in the 23.
I don't imagine that he will be in the 23. Maybe
that's how you get the big cash, is by saying, if you want me not to play international rugby, I won't play international rugby if you pay me that.
Yeah.
But then you sign them and it turns out you signed a bloody Sansus Johnson. I'm retiring from international.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not going to retire from international.
I'm really looking forward to London Irish being back in the Premiership. I really hope they haven't overspent on a lot of these players.
Oh, they've definitely overspent.
I fear they've overspent big time.
And I agree.
The problem is, you've overspent. You've got to try and bring them into what has been a successful team this year. They're going to take guys' places. They're going to put people's noses out of joint.
Exactly.
And do they integrate as well into that team? I mean, Maffey and Sean O'Brien, if you can get them both fit and on the pitch in a back row, is an impressive, like, just in terms of carrying ability, that is so awesome.
I think that Sean O'Brien, I mean, I think they've overpaid for him, but I get it, he's an Irishman, he's going to London Irish, that's good. Paddy Jackson.
And season after this one, they're moving to the new Brentwood Stadium.
Yeah, so there's some good
Brentford
stuff.
Brentford Stadium.
But I just think the signings they've got from overseas, as good as they are, it just feels like they're copying what has been done before rather than forging their own way. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
They've got there'll be some good highlight reels with those boys and with Waisaki Naholo coming in as well. Great highlight reels.
He's quite good, apparently.
He's not bad.
Play a bit.
He's all right.
Not bad.
Iron Lion, Ben Ryan, he's going to be helping Scotland rugby.
Yeah.
What do you want me to say about that?
Is it a skills coach kind of role?
He's doing a review of their performance. Yeah, it's a consultant type role to review their performance side. As far as, I've not read the full article on this, I've just seen the kind of headlines. There is a current investigation going on behind the operational side, so not the performance side at the moment, following the wrongful dismissal of Finn Russell's dad last year.
Sorry, what?
You know, we did cover this.
No, we did not. I remember Finn Russell's dad being dismissed. If you
wrongfully dismissed. He had a successful wrongful dismissal case. It was last year.
I would
against
definitely
the
remember this conversation.
Wow.
So wow, what was he dismissed for? What was his role?
I don't know any of the ins and outs of it. He was young talent manager type role. So managing people coming through the game. There was a wrongful dismissal case that was, he was successful.
What was the accusation? Why did he get dismissed?
I don't know.
These things?
Because
don't
it's,
tell
we,
me Finn Russell's
we
dad.
We discussed this on the podcast
no,
about 9 months ago.
Don't come to me telling me Finn Russell's dad has been fired by the SRU wrongfully. And then this might have led to Ben Ryan showing up at the SRU and not have the details.
Well, it also follows, what's his name? The Aussie guy. Looks like Gerard Depardieu. Yeah. Depardieu. Scott Johnson.
He's gone.
So I think in him going, this is where Ben Ryan is coming in to look at that side of things.
McGinty, who's left the SRU, to go to Leicester Tigers. Well, maybe they all go to Leicester Tigers.
Maybe. Yeah. Why not?
It's getting very, very niche at this point.
It is.
Right, that's why we do a Ruby podcast in the middle of the summer. You need something to talk about.
Oh, I've just looked at a couple of new rugby shirts. I was going to say Scotland have got a new rugby
kit. Hang on. I've not finished with Finn Russell's dad yet. Ben Ryan's gone as a consultant, right?
Yes.
And it is on the performance, not the operational side.
Correct.
Okay. I don't like it. Not because I don't like Ben Ryan or anything like that. I just don't think it's a good idea. Can you imagine someone reviewing the performance of, say, Warren Gatland and how well that would go down? Or Eddie Jones. I mean, what do you think Eddie Jones would say if someone said, oh, by the way, we're just going to bring in Rob Baxter to review performances. Is that okay with you?
I get what you're saying. Not. I do think that Ben Ryan working with Gregor Townsend, they've both kind of got a similar, very attacking mindset. I can imagine that working.
But there are egos involved. And in rugby, there are some...
Because, of course, I understand how Ben Ryan coaches.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a very good point.
First-hand experience being coached by Ben Ryan, so,
In this scenario, so...
Thick playbooks, thick players. just what he says.
In the Eddie Jones or Warren Gatland scenarios, they are very experienced international coaches, whereas Gregor Townsend, I imagine he could take the ego out of it more because it's his first international coaching appointment. And he went in there knowing that Scott Johnson was kind of over the top as whatever his role was.
Mm-hmm.
Some loose director of rugby type role. So probably there's less ego there from Gregor Townsend.
I completely disagree on that. Gregor Townsend was a top class player, top class international, proved himself as a coach with Glasgow, was groomed for the role, gets put in, and now has Ben Ryan overseeing his work, I guess.
So
that's why you disagree, because you are looking at it from the wrong side. Eddie Jones would definitely take that perspective.
Yeah. Unless it's a Gregor Townsend thing. He goes, hey, can you get Ben Ryan to look over my work?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he instigates that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they could. I think we might not be talking about Ireland topping Pool A. We might be talking about Scotland topping Pool A.
What do you think of Scotland's World Cup kit?
Nice, good, yeah.
With the tartan on the shoulders.
Yeah, nice.
Trim on the end of the arm.
Are there any rules about wearing kilts?
It looks good in the press pictures with the kilts. It does look good.
So, Roger Federer does this thing, doesn't he? And actually, not just Roger Federer, but also Racing do it, where they have their jackets and they walk out, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Do you actually have white jackets?
Sorry?
Is it not the blue and white stripes?
I'm not sure, but I've got a feeling that it's white jackets. I don't know. It doesn't matter, really, does it? But Roger Federer is definitely white. Why don't the Scots come out in a kilt?
And then take the kilt off.
That would be bloody brilliant.
Because if you're wearing a kilt, you can't wear anything underneath it.
Ah.
You're not allowed to.
Well, you know, they're going to have to bend that rule. But if they all come out with the anthem in kilts and like their and like little zip-up tops, that would be so cool.
More Strip Advisor updates. Harlequin's home jersey's been unveiled. I like it.
That's it?
It looks, it's pretty classic. It's a slight twist on it. They've got, it's kind of got diamond type thing within the quarters, but so, when you actually see it from a distance, you don't see it. And it's although I'm sure there's a colour, I'm just going to compare it. I'm sure there's a colour that's not, no, brown, sky blue, grey, red. Yeah, that's all right.
I play rugby with a guy who used to work at Adidas, and we've spoken about this kit. And he basically said, the Harlequins kit is one of the hardest ones to do because you can't do anything with it. It always has to be quarters. So the kit man and everyone else are just always trying to think of little
niche ideas.
Yeah, just do a normal Harlequins kit. That said, the Harlequins kit with different socks was awesome. That was my favourite one in years.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, the retro one.
The retro, the 150th anniversary.
And also the one which because it blended into the shirts. Yeah. The shorts.
Yeah.
But do you what the problem was with that one?
Go on.
It's a very pragmatic problem that they had with that kit.
You had to put the socks on the right.
Exactly. You've got to find. Usually you can just put any two pairs of socks together.
Any two socks.
Yeah, we had to collect all of the brown ones and all of the blue ones or whatever colours they were.
Kitman problems.
The one issue with Adidas in rugby at the minute is that they've gone down the football route of putting their three stripes front to back, not
down the arm.
Not down.
Okay.
That bothers me.
I don't mind it. I quite like it.
I don't mind it. Now, I've got a feeling I know the answer or one of the reasons that this happens, right? It's because in the Olympics, Adidas were banned from using their three stripes on the arm because it exceeds the amount of space that they are allowed for their own logo.
Wow.
And I've got a feeling with football shirts, it's the same thing. The logo of the manufacturer can only be a certain size. And I think that's something to do with why they come over the shoulder rather than that's down interesting. The arms.
Can I just say, I think the best... Gloucester have got a new home kit as well, a bit more Strip Advisor. It's a step backwards.
Let's have a look.
They started to go the right way. It's a step backwards.
Not having that one.
It's kind of very thin black... Hoop in amongst some. It's sort of irregular hoops.
Why would you want your? Why would you want your hoops of different gradients?
But I mean, they're getting towards it because they've got the navy shorts.
Navy shorts is good.
They've got the navy shorts
and those navy shorts are very short.
Yes, they are very short. It's good.
Yeah.
So I quite like the Gloucester kit when they went.
Their change kit is that their Euro kit? The change shirt. They've got rid of that awful grey Euro shirt they had. And their pink chain shirt was horrendous last year.
It was one of the worst shirts.
Now it's kind of a turquoise blue, which, again, I'm not...
Powder blue?
That's not a great cut. Ed Slater's not in bad nick, and that's not a great cut of shirt.
This is the problem with the non... So if you go for Canterbury, Nike, Adidas, you know they are well-fitting for the muscular athletic physique. The Gloucester kit for the last couple of years and the Bristol kit suffers the same problem because it's like... non-branded or non-main brand.
Is it BLK?
No.
Who makes Gloucester's kit then?
It's now Oxen. A new entrant. I think they're a subsidiary of BLK perhaps. But
It was X-Blades, wasn't it?
Yes, it was X-Blades.
But it's now Oxen. But the best kit that I've seen in a long time.
You're really building it. It's not the new Ospreys kit.
I'm hoping that Hummel will become a new entrant to Rugby Union because their Great Britain Rugby League kit is absolutely beautiful.
It is very nice, isn't it?
They've got the sponsor in the same royal blue. Look at that.
Oh, yes. That is so old school as well.
So old school. I love it. I mean, it looks great on Sam Burgess.
It just shows, doesn't it? It doesn't take much. It only takes Sam Burgess to wear a shirt.
Look at it.
Sam Burgess looked amazing.
Do you remember how good the Bath kit used to look with Sam Burgess in it?
That is a beautiful kit.
In a vest.
Yeah.
I bought a vest because Sam Burgess wore a vest. He looked so good in all kits.
That is awesome. Great Britain Rugby League. That almost makes up for the press conference with Tony Adams.
Almost, but
how
not
do they get something so right and something so wrong?
Oh, it's beautiful that. God, I love the fact they've got everything coordinated. The sponsor's in the same blue as the blue in the jersey. They've got two things on one on each chest. The lion symbol is gold, and the Hummel kit manufacturer is gold.
Yeah.
It just all...
It's so simple and so beautiful. That's really, really nice.
Well, they've not got... The other thing is they've not got competing spaces. So do you think that the Rugby World Cup... Like, the Rugby World Cup badge should be included on a shirt?
I don't particularly like it.
No, I don't either. I hate it.
We've got the filthy Chris Robshaw one up there, haven't we?
Yeah. So, like, why... I mean, you're watching the World Cup. I don't need to be reminded by it. And then that means that you've got to move... There's extra clutter on the shirt.
Well, you take out the sponsor because you can't have sponsors on there.
Yeah, so the sponsor goes from, like, the middle of the shirt. Then you clutter up, like the breast area. Why do we need to know that they're in the Rugby World Cup?
Or at least, why do we need to know to that extent? Why can't it be a very small little thing on the arm?
On the arm would be great, yeah.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, because that's just World Rugby getting a...
It's
on an ego trip, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like when the EU demand that you have EU on the side of your library. it's just a very narcissistic type thing to do.
It's like having a JB 2020 banner.
That's completely different. utterly different. Not even close to being analogous.
I'm going to send this little snippet of the podcast to Great Britain Rugby League, just how much we've just talked up that shirt, and hopefully they'll send one to the Rugby Dungeon to hang up.
Hummel, send us a kit.
I think I could probably get one. Shall I? I'll make some calls.
You got some contacts.
I've got some contacts in the Rugby League.
Let's get one up. Actually, can you get one in large?
Yeah, I can.
Get one in large.
Oh, get me some very short Rugby League shorts as well.
Definitely that. Well, I've already got a load of Rugby League singlets on the way, little vests for training.
Can you get me them in large, boys?
Large boys. I'll see what I can do.
Well, otherwise known as Sunny Bill size.
Well, going back to Rugby League and Gloucester, I think one of the best Gloucester kits of recent time is when they went to that Rugby League manufacturer and basically wore a Rugby League kit for a year.
The shorts were amazing.
Yeah. They just all looked very, very good.
That is the best thing about Rugby League, short shorts.
Mm. Yes.
Do they still have short shorts like they used to?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a point of principle, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the shorts are normal size, but the players order them smaller.
Yeah. Great.
There we go.
Any more stuff to do? It's a record. Are we actually going to get this done? Oh, no, we're not. It's actually 11 seconds over the hour.
We're just over an hour still.
Oh, damn it!
Did anyone watch the... or any of the Pacific Nations Cup?
No, I just saw little clips of how wet it was.
Yeah,
I saw an amazing Japan try, which is different tournament, right?
Oh, it's the same.
Same
tournament. So it's Pacific Nations Cup. So you had Samoa Tonga, which was on at like 3 in the morning on Friday night, Saturday morning. You then, which I got up to watch at 6 a.m. You had Japan Fiji, which was
that's a great game.
It was so I was expecting a lot for this game because they are the two best tier two nations.
They ranked 11 and 13 or 14 or something like that.
I'm not sure where they're current, but they are in my mind they're the best two, and they are the most likely to cause an upset probably to one of the big teams. Japan were very impressive. Mm. Their defense was very impressive. Their neat passing interchange was really, really good, and their scrum was impressive as well.
Now, I'm going to look absolutely stupid if I'm wrong here. Tony Brown's their coach, right?
Yes.
Or a coach.
I thought it was Jordan Joseph.
Jordan Joseph. Yeah.
Jordan Joseph and Tony Brown's underneath him.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
So Joseph is very, very impressive, but Tony Brown allegedly is one of the great attacking minds in the world game. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, they're kind of continuing what they have done. It's what I like about Japan is they understand their own limitations and weaknesses, and they play to their strengths, and they just hope that their strengths are better.
Jamie Joseph, not Jordan Joseph.
Jamie Joseph, yeah.
Jordan Joseph is the French 18-year-old.
Yes, that's right, number 8.
He is not coaching Japan.
Japan just play to their strengths, except they've sort of ruined their kit a little bit. Talking about stash, but you know,
it's interesting that because I agree when you're looking at it close up, but when you were watching the game, it just looked like a classic Japan game. So when you're in a normal situation, so I didn't mind it.
When you look close up, do you know what it looks like? It looks like the players have been given a wedgie with their shorts, like their shorts have been pulled up at the side.
Reminds me of I was trying to think of exactly what you call it. Do you know those Japanese cartoons with robots?
Like manga cartoons.
Yeah.
Anime.
Anime. Yeah.
Hang on, isn't that. It's, yeah, whatever.
We'll find out.
Yeah. That shirt reminds me, it looks like one of the robots, the way it kind of goes
down
and across.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So I quite like it. It's sort of like a reflection of their of what they like, cartoon robots.
It was a really good game.
It was interesting because there were some great tries by both teams, actually. Japan did very well to shut Fiji's offloading game down. Their defensive structure was really good. It was an impressive performance by Japan. And then I saw a couple of the highlights of the Canada-USA game. Which like
your man Blaine Scully to a try?
Yeah.
Off the corner flag?
Legend.
From a... Oh, it wasn't. It was Will Hooley who put the cross kick in for that.
Did AJ play?
He did. Played 10.
Did he start?
He started.
Legend.
Big win for USA. Mm. Canada did score a couple of good tries through Connor Traynor and their best player, Tyler Ardron. Who is absolute class. And number 8 who went in for a 6.
Where does he play, Auden?
Chiefs.
Does he?
Yeah, Waikato Chiefs. He is actually that good as well. He's genuinely brilliant. So the rest of the team are not up to his standard.
What was the score in the USA-Canada game?
47-20 or something like that. It was a one-sided game.
Yeah, bearing in mind how good Canada used to be, there needs to be some sort of intervention here on Canada's behalf because they seem to be falling to pieces in front of our eyes and have been doing so for since the podcast has been going. Actually.
Soft Prime Minister, soft rugby team.
That's exactly right. And, you know, with the American team getting great again, I mean, I can't imagine what events may have spot that.
So we should imagine, I don't know if great's the wrong word, but definitely harder. We can imagine a resurgent Italy. Soon.
Yeah, resurgent Italy, resurgent England. Who knows?
Is that a good place to end it?
Yeah, let's absolutely leave it there.
Let's go home.
Right, let the boys play. Also, podcastlive.com.
Yes.
Yep. Akuma Rugby Shops.
AkumaShops.com/eggchasers.
AkumaRugbyShops.com/eggchasers.
AkumaShops.com.
AkumaShops.
Some of you have been disappointed. Correct. That there was not a tie available when you looked to buy your wonderful merino.
I would understand that.
Yeah, and you know the original ties. No more of them will ever be made again. There's a handful that us three own, and I've got some spares just in case we need to go out to World Player of the Year again. But that's it. Once they're gone, they are gone, and we will have a new tie. But because the ties are now there, I've moved heaven and earth to get these ties to Akuma. You can get your complimentary tie. If you buy the merino wool jersey.
Beautiful.
Well worth it. Well worth it.
Yes, absolutely.
You look so cool in work.
Akuma Shop.
AkumaShops.com/eggchasers.
And we will see you at Podcast Live.
Yes, can't wait.
7th of September.
Yeah, if you come in one of our ties, I personally, out of my own money, /any money that we get paid for this, we'll buy you a Negroni.
Wow.
Buy you a Negroni.
It's a lot of people buying Negronis for.
Yeah, might be. Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay.
Let's go to M&S, get some bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, let the boys play.
Indeed.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.